was the First Chronicles. Well, you are turning to First Chronicles, chapter 28. I do want you to go with me in your Bible, or with your Bible, to First Chronicles, chapter 28. I just want to remind everybody, we have communion this morning. Those who are watching online, would you begin to prepare your hearts and your elements with communion? Just a little bit more. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Eric. We'll leave it right there. Perfect. So we'll have communion. Moms and dads, grandparents, don't forget, after church, children's practice, because here comes the play like tomorrow. It comes quick. And so prepare for that. Hey, listen, we'll resume everything back to normal this week. Everything that happens on Monday will happen on Monday. Everything that happens on Tuesday will happen on Tuesday. Wednesday, same thing. Thursday, same thing. So office will be open all week. So if you missed us, come on by. Amen. I want you to prepare your hearts for our giving this morning. Deanna showed me a video this morning of all the children in foreign country who received the Christmas operation box. You should have seen their faces. You should have seen their smile, their joy of receiving that gift from thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over our community. Can you put your hands together and say thank you again? Nothing like seeing a child that is smiling. Isn't that a beautiful sight when they're smiling because they're expressing their joy and their happiness? Thank you for all who helped and participated in all that took place. I do hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Here comes Christmas. I have a list if you want to get something. Amen. First Chronicles chapter 28, before the ushers come in a moment. I want you to see in verse 1 what happened. What happened was that David assembled all of Jerusalem, every one of them, to tell them that God has a plan. Would you say that with me? God has a plan. Come on, I want you to put this in your soul. I want you to put this in your mind. I want you to put this deep down. God has a plan for you. It's called a spiritual plan. How many here can say God knows what He's doing in our lives? He knows what He's doing in our community. He knows what's going on in America. He knows what's going on all over the world. God has a plan for you. Amen and amen to that. Ushers, would you come? As the ushers come, I say to all those who are watching online, thank you for tuning in, getting ready to do communion with us. But most of all, thank you for your prayers and thank you for your giving. Everyone here, thank you for your prayers and thank you for your giving. God has always been good to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father God, thank you for every believer that loves you, takes care of your work, not our work, your work. I'm grateful that you use us for your glory and your honor. Help us to stay strong and focus on you at all times. Lord, bless the giver today and bless this message. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Ushers, thank you so much for helping this morning. Once you know, this is the bulk of my presentation of the Word of God today. Once you know who you are in Christ Jesus, your spiritual life will begin to help you walk in it. Let me say it again. It is the bulk of my presentation. The word of the Lord is clear that God has a plan for every one of us. Once you know who you are in Christ, amen, your spiritual life begins to kick in and will help you walk in who you are in Christ Jesus. With that in mind, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you because I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be afraid of who you are in Christ Jesus and what He wants to do in your life. It'll be a challenge. It's going to be a lot of changes. It's going to take a lot of decisions. It's going to take a lot of good decisions. Because no matter what situation, what circumstance that you are going through, I want you to take that, whatever that circumstance, whatever that situation is, I want you to take that and begin to apply what the Word of the Lord says to us today. So don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit conviction. It's a good thing. It's from the Lord. That means He loves you. That means you're sensitive to the things of the Lord. Others are not, but you are. So don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit conviction, because, again, that is how God trains us. Why is that important? Because we have to develop what the Bible calls transformation. Transformation is where you are surrendering your life to God because you want your life to be better for the glory of God. You want your life to be an instrument. You just don't want to exist. There's something that has to happen inside of us to go forward. And so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit conviction, because conviction is what trains us to discern. Everybody say discernment. Discernment will be a great help to you. Why? Because that is where we develop, we transform, we change. Am I pleasing to the Lord? Am I not pleasing the Lord? Because we know already, if we're going to please God, it's going to take faith. Somebody say faith. Faith. It's going to have to take faith in what the Word of God says. So this morning, my prayer really is that we understand this concept, this teaching called the Spirit-filled planning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for giving me your strength. Thank you for helping me through this moment as I go forward with your grace and your mercy and your love. I pray in Jesus' name that your word will speak great things to us. We won't be afraid. We want to know how to discern that I am being pleasing to you. Bless the communion today, God. Bless our hearts, bless our homes, bless our family. Bless what's going on in our lives. God, we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now, I want you to read verse 11 with me of 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Reason why I want you to read verse 11 is because David gave his son Solomon the plans. Everybody look at me for a moment. The plans. The plans. Spiritual planning. God has a plan for you. And we got to be able to make sure that we're walking in it. The moment you know who you are in Christ Jesus, your spiritual life has to take front range. And knowing that your spiritual life is going to help us understand where we are today in the things of the Lord as we continue to read. And the plans of all that was had by the Spirit. Look at me over here for a moment. This is crucial because what we need, and this is the note that I want you to take, we need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to make good decisions, good choices, to move to the place that I, by faith, can walk in the ordinance and the plan of God, because God has a plan for me this morning. Amen? Amen? One more verse I want to read, verse 19. This is the bulk of the presentation, because our presentation is based on decision making. How do we make better decisions? How do we make better choices? How do we change from the inside out? How do we develop the right steps with the Lord? How do we continue to grow in Christ Jesus? How do we continue to ask God for more? How do we continue to ask for the double portion that God has for us? All that matters, because all of that is part of your growth with the Lord. Verse 19, all of this David said, the Lord made me understand. I do apologize, but look at me again. This is crucial because the Lord will make you understand. He'll give you the knowledge. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the guidance. He'll give you the strength. He gives you what you need. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there for you at all times. This God doesn't just come and go. This God is with us day in, day out. That's why verse 29 is crucial. The Lord made me understand, writing by His hand upon me all the works of those plans. There it is again. The plans. Spiritual planning is what Almighty God is wanting us to create and to build for the glory of God. Amen. So, all that's going on is important because every one of us have a different plan that God has for us. But listen, but we use the same resources that God provides. Every one of us do. And so that's why we're going to use His wisdom. We're going to use His understanding. And we're going to continue to develop and continue to grow. God is in the business of making sure that our plans are spiritual and that we are truly, honestly, growing with the Lord, because this is what He's done in the past. He's asked Noah to build an ark, and He gave him a plan in details. Likewise, He told Moses, I want you to build a tabernacle. He had a plan, and He had details. Now, He's given His son Solomon the plans to build the temple of Almighty God. Now, let me real quick help somebody understand the word transformation. Transformation is where you allow Almighty God to minister to you, to speak to you, to guide you, to lead you, to help you, because you're going to ask and you're going to receive. You're going to ask and you're going to receive. He'll speak to you. It's amazing when you hear the voice of God for your life. And your life is important. And because your life is important, I believe today that Almighty God reveals His plans to us today. Now listen. He guides our steps by faith. Amen? He guides our steps, lamp unto our feet, by faith. Say the word transformation. I know it's not new to you. You've heard it before. But what does it mean to me personally? Transformation is a biblical word. It is a profound inner renewal, often described as a spiritual and a moral change. A spiritual and a moral change that from the life aligned with the world, one that is going to please God. Now, honestly, let's just be honest this morning. We want to please God, don't we? I mean, that is our cry. That's our dream. That's our vision. That's our pleasure. That's our faith, that we would be pleasing to Almighty God. So it's initiated by the Holy Spirit. Notice that all of your plans, all of your spiritual plans, the Holy Spirit plays a big part of those plans. It's initiated by the Holy Spirit to renew us, and not only to renew us, but to renew our minds so that we could be more like Jesus. Think about it for a moment. So transformation is so that you and I will continue to walk with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to encourage you this morning. The Holy Spirit is available to every one of us. Listen, I don't want to keep barking, but I'm going to probably bark one more time. The more you know about the Holy Spirit, how it works in you, in the world, in the church. Wednesday nights, I'm right smack in the middle who the Holy Spirit is, how the Holy Spirit works, how the Holy Spirit works inside of you, how it works in the church, how it works in your business, how it works in your home, how it works in the world right now. And so we're in the middle of a movement called the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that's going to birth. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to bring that power and that authority that we need in Christ Jesus. And so from that, I just know that our planning, here's the word, how to prepare. Is there a movement of God coming before Jesus comes? Is there a movement coming before Jesus comes? And can I just announce that I believe there's going to be a movement of people that plan in the spirit realm, that plan with the wisdom of the Spirit, and knowing that the Spirit is working in us daily. Thank God for the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. All right. I want to show you real quick how God can take your situation. Excuse me. I was 10 times worse on Friday. Just want to let you know. I'm 80% better. But after I get through this, I will be taking a good nap in Jesus' name. Amen. Good, better, and different God wants to take your situation and show you how good God is to you. Listen, He wants to take your situation. He didn't say, I want you to live with this situation. I don't want you to think that it's a thorn on the side, even though I do believe that the people have a thorn on the side, but God's grace is, and mercy is a lot greater than that thorn in the side. But just know this, that this morning, God wants to take your situation, listen, apply a spiritual plan to it, and watch the hand of God perform a miracle. Somebody say a miracle. And God is in the business of miracle. We don't have to live with all of that. So here's number one. If you want to write it down, write it down. But here, I believe that a spirit-filled planning focuses on revealing and glorifying God's character. God's character. Listen, let me tell you what God's character looks like. I'm going to define it and I'm going to describe it, but take a moment. Because out of God's character, this is why here in a moment, I want to encourage you to continue to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Because from there, a couple of things are going to happen. I hope it happens, and I hope it takes place, and I hope it becomes amazing and powerful to you. I believe that's going to happen is that you're going to create, everybody smile at me. I'm almost done. I got about 2 hours left, but I'm almost done. It's going to create a biblical standard that comes from God. Listen, there's two ways to create a biblical standard. One is called a banner. Do you know that one of God's name is, He is our banner? The Lord is my banner. Jehovah Tenishkenu, I believe, or Jehovah Nisi, excuse me. That's another name for Him. So Jehovah Nisi means he is my banner. What does that mean, Pastor? You know when you have a hat that says Christian, you have a shirt that says Christian, you have a bumper that says Christian. Oh, by the way, when you speed, Jesus gets off after 55. Jesus loves you. You have a banner. You're declaring. Say it with me, I'm declaring. I'm declaring I'm a Christian. I'm declaring I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm declaring I'm one of His chosen ones. I'm declaring that I belong to Him. I'm declaring that I am in Christ Jesus, that what the Bible says, who I am in Christ Jesus. That's called the banner. A biblical standard is that your banner, where you're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The other biblical standard that's going to be created, it's called a set of moral and ethics. Amen. Think about it for a moment. That biblical standard has a lot to do with how we're guided. Who's guiding our behavior? Who's guiding our thoughts? Who's guiding our relationships with God and with others? Biblical standard. That's good news, because we want to include what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So, number one, spirit-filled planning focuses on revealing and glorifying God's character. Here's what the Bible says about that. Jesus said that one important aspect of the Spirit work is to bring glory to Jesus and reveal the things of Jesus. Listen, if you say you are led by the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit, it's leading you to Jesus. You get to talk about Jesus. He's the good news. He's our salvation. He's our eternal life. He's our healer. He's our provider. He's our everything. That's how I know somebody's following the Holy Spirit. It don't lead them to a personality, and it don't lead them to a talent. It don't lead them to a gift. It leads them to Jesus Christ. And that's why I believe that our goal is to glorify God in a way by defining Almighty God by attributes, such as love. God's love, right? But he's also holy. He's also just. He's also sovereign. He's described this way. He's holy. He's righteous. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. Somebody say amen to that. He's all powerful. He's everywhere. And he knows everything. That's how you would describe the character of God. And that is why the Spirit of the Lord is there to help you with your situation by honoring the values. Because you and I already know we are his messenger. Amen. We are his ambassadors. Amen. We are salt and light. We are angels to the people that are dying out there without Jesus. When you help someone start their car, you're a beautiful angel. When you help somebody that's a stranger, you are an angel. And that's why Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16 talks about the light and the salt. And basically what it's saying is that you have great influence, period. You have great influence. You are there to influence others, not them influencing you.
Amen.
Wow. Number two, it's my favorite one. Spirit-filled planning prepares the way for others to succeed. Stop for a moment. Listen, you are living yours. We got to help the next one. We have to help the next generation. Please hear me this morning. Please get a hold of this. If we don't help the next generation, we may lose what God has worked so hard. You're living yours. You are this generation. You are a very powerful people. By the way, you're one of the most powerful people I have ever met, not because you got money or you got talent or you got gifts or you're handsome or you're beautiful. No, you have Jesus. And because you have Jesus, you will have a great impact and you have great influence in the community. I love this quote. And it just ministered to me. And this quote says, it says, you want to know why I win? Because even at my worst, I lift others up in Jesus' name. Listen, you are preparing for the next generation. You're living yours. You're preparing for them. David's preparation for the temple enabled Solomon to be successful to complete a project, a beautiful project that is amazing. Even though we may use that word lightly, success, I don't know if there is much information about how successful you can be. But I learned this. I learned this, that God takes my hard work. God takes my failures. God takes whatever's going on in my life so that I can work hard for the glory of God, knowing that what Jesus is doing is a very beautiful thing in our lives. Let me close with the last one. Man, I'm telling you what. A spiritual planning has a vision. And it's very detailed. I want you to think about that for a moment. God's spiritual planning has a vision and detail. In other words, God is concerned in every area of your life. He does not, and this is where people want to fight with me, but don't fight with me this morning. I'm not in the mood to fight. God don't have favorites. Every one of you are precious in the sight of God. You may have different positions, you may have different work, but you are important to the Lord. Even for that person that would sweep the church is vital to the one that lives in the glass house. We may have different positions, but we're all been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen to all of that. He is in the business of your entire picture and the little things of your life. I want to close with this because I don't want to just leave you there. I want to give you some examples. I want to give you what a vision looks like, what details looks like. I want you to turn to Ephesians 5 real quick. I want to help someone this morning because I want you to see by the word of the Lord, some detail, I'm going to call them measurable ways. Measurable ways. I'm going to call them measurable ways. And what this is going to do is help you at least get a picture and an idea of the, listen, of the work that is ahead of us. Amen? This work is called a double anointing, more of God. We're not going to be afraid of the biblical standard that God wants to create, the moral standard that God is wanting us to create. But I believe that if we take word by word what Matthew chapter 5 says, I'm going to turn there. It speaks about three very important things that we cannot miss. It's going to tell us how to walk in love. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. It's going to tell us how to walk in light. And it's going to tell us how to walk in wisdom. But more than that, you can use this as a guide. We're calling it a measurable gift, a measurable ways where, all right, I'm here, listen, I'm here, but God wants me here. You remember my introduction? My introduction was based on this. The moment you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you're going to begin to develop a spiritual life that is going to take faith and it's going to take discipline. Consistency, hard work. And I think we have to realize that the more I empty myself, the more the Holy Spirit has a chance to work in my life. Just follow the word of the Lord. Let's read this. Verse 1, remember, detail, vision, spiritual planning. We're talking about measurable ways, work, things that we have to work on. It says, therefore, be imitators of God, dear children. Amen. It's going to teach you how to walk in love. Walk in love, not hate, not resentful, not anger. Walk in love as Christ loved us, giving himself for us, offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, for it's fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, or just joking or fitting, but rather give thanks. For this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, who practice worshiping idols, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Listen, measurable ways, detail, vision. He just gave us a description how to walk in love. If we have room for improvement, if you're honest with yourself, then you'll say, I've got room for improvement. I can get better in this area. That's called a biblical standard. That's called a moral ethics. That is called knowing that no matter where I'm at, God is always with me. Somebody say amen to that. Now, that, how to walk in the light. For you were once in darkness, but now you're in the light. You're the light and the salt. You got great influence. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship, have no fellowship, have no fellowship, have no fellowship. It's not a broken record. With unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak the things which are done by them in secret. But in all things that are exposed are made or revealed by the light. For whatever is manifested in the light. Therefore, he says, wake up, all you who sleep. Rise from the dead. Christ will give you light. Now he gives us a great description how to walk in wisdom. See in verse 15, seeing that you walk circumspectly, in other words, very careful, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? That's called spiritual planning. Do not be drunk with wine. And says, but which is, this is a word that I wanted to make sure that I got right, is a dispassion, did I say that correctly? Dissipation, thank you. I did say it that way. But so what does that word mean, Pastor Bobby? It means very clearly, don't be wasteful. Don't always lose your self-control. Don't always, you know, be half-hearted. If you're going to commit, commit. If you're going to work, work. If you're going to be dedicated, be dedicated. It says very clearly there, it says, but be filled with the Spirit. Can you look at me this morning? What a detail, what a vision. He says, but what I do want you to do is that I want you to set yourself apart and see exactly what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And how do I get filled with the Spirit? And how do I stay filled with the Spirit so that movement of God can take over my life and help me be a great influence in my community in the name of Jesus? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Listen, look at me. It says, to the Lord. I can't carry a tune, but I can with to the Lord. I hope you caught that. Giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another. We've got to be accountable for one another. Don't get offended when we try to guide you and correct you and help you and give you some kind of wisdom and some kind of experience. We're here to make sure that the body of Christ keeps getting stronger and stronger. And look at the next verse. I'm not even going to try to address the next seven verses, so I'm just going to leave it right there. We're not ready to discuss the husband and the wife stuff yet, so I'm just going to just leave it there because that's another can of worms that we have to deal with later. Amen? Not today. Listen, thank you for being patient with me today. I do apologize, didn't have the energy that I needed to have today, but I'll make sure that I go and take care of myself in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? I want us to get our hearts ready for communion. As the worship team comes this morning, I want you to just begin to put in your soul, in your heart, that God Almighty wants to continue to develop this spiritual planning through transformation, through being a guide, a lamp unto our feet, by faith in the name of Jesus. Our planning is important. Preparing is important. Follow up is important. All of this is crucial. All of this is beautiful. Ethical or having ethics means it's an act of accordance with the principle of what is right, fair, and honest. It involves decisions based on a system of moral principles that guide behavior such as respect for others' right, fairness, and integrity. Even when no one is watching, what we know is that God is always watching us in the name of Jesus. And I pray this morning that you begin to develop a biblical standard. The first thing is be proud, be grateful who you are. You are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand with me this morning, I want us to take communion this morning with a purpose. Hey, listen, I hope you got this. I want you to take communion with a spiritual planning. Take that situation that you need to take and apply it to these three very important points. And as you apply them to these very important points, I believe deliverance will come. God is in the business of deliverance, setting us free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Those who are helping me with communion will make their way to the front. How we take communion here is my team will guide you to come and get the elements. You can go back to your seat or you can stay at the altar, but we'll take communion together and we'll wait until everybody gets the elements. Meanwhile, while we're waiting, we can worship and we can pray and we can do evaluation and we can do reflection in the name of Jesus. My team, would you begin to help this morning?
Holy is the Lamb for sinners slain. silent snow, washed in his blood. Guilty I stood, but now I'm free. Now I lift my head up high, my redemption draweth nigh. Glory to his name.
Just close your eyes for a moment. God gave David details of a plan to build the temple. His son Solomon had the honor and the privilege of building it. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That temple that they built doesn't compare to the temple that you are in Christ Jesus. That temple stood in one place. This temple gets to move and be part a dying world, telling everybody that Jesus saves, Jesus brings good news. And because of the Holy Spirit in us, today we just are asking that we be filled with His Spirit. Take the bread, His body, in remembrance of what His body went through for our salvation and our eternal life. Let's take the body of Christ. Power is in the blood. All of our authority is in Christ. Let's take the blood.
Redemption draweth nigh.
at ball games. You do it at activities. You can do that in the house of God with Almighty God. Just lift your voices. It's okay. Over your heart. God loves you. He's the one that's calling you out. No human being can do that. Calling you out means He's calling you to follow Him. That's what that means. Not calling you out to call you out. He's calling you to follow Him. Period. When you begin to follow Jesus, declare a banner. Fill us with His Spirit so that we can walk in the Spirit,
yes,
in this wisdom of the Spirit of God. He's already telling you what your calling is. It's high time for that double portion, that double anointing, because you're crying out for more for God. That's it. There's much more. Don't limit God. Don't put God in a box. Once you've tasted the goodness of the Lord, it's beautiful. It's amazing. I pray this prayer for you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And amen. God bless every one of you. Thank you for putting up with me this morning.
God bless you.
Bless you. Oh my God. Oh, has he?